Welcome to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We always like to begin with an affirmation of our faith in our recorded messages. The one we use for Sunday, June 11th, is from 1 Timothy 3:16, Revised Standard Version. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. God was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The reading of God's word for today is from Matthew's gospel in the 5th chapter, the first 10 verses. I trust that these verses will sound familiar to many of you, as they are often called, in part, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." May the Lord add his blessing this reading of his holy word. I begin today's message, as I began last week's message, to talk about our Christian faith. A Christian faith as understood by any number of denominations and non-denominational churches. Our religion, the Christian religion, not Hinduism, not Taoism, not Buddhism, our religion is a revealed religion. Our religion was and is a revelation from God. Not all religions are revealed religions. Hinduism, Taoism, Buddhism, and even Shinto, traditional Japanese religion, those religions are based on human observation, a kind of wisdom based on looking around at the world. Our religion, the Christian religion, is based on our relationship to the one true God, and this same God revealed himself to us. Judaism is also based on God's revelations, but Christians and Jews have different books of those revelations. The big difference being the revelation of God the Father in Jesus, as Christians proclaim the Son of God. Some of today's message will get into that topic because today's scripture shows us Jesus' teaching. As followers of Jesus, we believe quite a few things about Jesus. Many things that Jesus said about himself, such as, "I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus, here in Matthew's Gospel, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was teaching about spiritual reality. It was a kind of wisdom, but it was a revealed wisdom from the Heavenly Father. Jesus did not get this wisdom from looking around Nazareth and looking around Galilee as a child. Jesus didn't see deeper into reality than his family members. Jesus was revealed the truth from God. Now, I don't want to get into a discussion about how, when, and where this wisdom was revealed to Jesus. We just need to understand that Jesus was speaking for the Heavenly Father. You and I have heard these verses in Matthew's gospel book from Jesus many times. Some of you had to memorize them as young people. But we were never taught, certainly I was not taught, any context when I was a child. So when Jesus said, blessed are the poor, which is in Luke's gospel, or blessed are the meek, or blessed are those who are persecuted, I had trouble as a youngster because I was taught I didn't want to be poor. And why would anyone want to be poor in spirit? I was taught as an American, no one wants to be meek, and I was pretty sure that I didn't want to be persecuted. So as a youngster, I was confused and conflicted about all these things that Jesus was saying, and all the adults around me at my church repeated these words and were saying, Amen. And I thought, uh-oh, how am I ever going to be blessed if I don't want to be what it takes to be blessed? All the adults at my church seemed to think that being blessed was a wonderful thing, even if they did not seem to be poor or poor in spirit. They didn't seem to be persecuted, and I didn't think they were meek. But how many kids think that any adult is meek? Not only were the adults around me none of those things that Jesus was talking about, they didn't seem to be striving to be any of the things that Jesus was talking about. As a matter of fact, and I've discussed this with my siblings, there were a couple of times that the McManus family in our hometown apparently had some cash flow problems. This was very upsetting to our father, who would suggest that we might have to move to the poorhouse. Some of you might not know what the poor farm or the poorhouse was. Since the institution, the poorhouse faded in the 1930s with the beginning of Social Security. But according to what my father said, our family was on the verge of becoming poor, and rather than be glad to be poor because Jesus said we would be blessed, and my father was a regular churchgoer, my father seemed very upset about the whole idea. That my father believed that the poor would still have a place to live in at the poorhouse did not seem to ease my father's anxiety concerning poverty at all. And remember, I was 8 years old. So the church-going adults were not able to help me understand Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5. Well, come to find out, I'm not alone, and I was not alone in my confusion about Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. So said my New Testament professor at Duke Divinity School, the eminent Dr. W.D. Davies. He put it rather well in his commentary of Matthew, 3 volumes on Matthew alone. Come to find out, Christians still aren't sure if Jesus intended to bless the people, the crowds, or was Jesus telling the crowds what the entrance requirements were for the kingdom of God? The answer, the short answer is, that Jesus was blessing you and me. The best example is blessed are the persecuted. Persecution is not a blessing in itself. No one wants to be persecuted, and no one can cause their own persecution. So, persecution can't be attained on your own, and therefore, persecution was not and is not an entrance requirement for the kingdom. Persecution cannot be achieved before one can be given blessing. But Jesus had come to assure the crowds, and Jesus had come to ensure the persecuted Jews that they were one with the prophets of God. The persecuted Jewish crowd stood with the prophets of God in the Heavenly Father's eyes. Why were the persecuted Jews standing with the prophets of God? Because the prophets of God were also persecuted. And Jesus was saying, as Jesus did in his first Bible message, this blessing is true now in your hearing of it. Let's take a look at these other blessings in a similar way. And if I'm honest, only the wisdom of being an old man, as I am, has helped me understand what Jesus was saying to the crowds so long ago. Deb and I, my wife Deborah and I, recently celebrated our 46th wedding anniversary a few weeks ago. But in our marriage vows so long ago, Deborah and I stated traditional vows, and I encourage couples that I marry to use traditional vows in their wedding ceremony. You might be able to say them with me. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. When I was young, Even if I wasn't sure what Jesus meant in Matthew chapter 5, I quickly learned what those wedding vows meant. Deb and I believed that when we were first married that we could both be students for 9 months until she finished her degree. During that first year, we lived on my salary as a teaching assistant. I remember what it was, but they were $1,977, and it didn't matter. We were happy because we were together. So that is what Jesus was talking about. We were happy, we were blessed because we were together, not because we had money, which we didn't have. And we couldn't be made more blessed by having more money because the blessing was in the relationship together, not the material things that we owned, which were very few. They would all fit in the back of a station wagon. If you don't know what a station wagon, you'll have to Google that. So what Sunday school could not teach young Gary, marriage did teach young Gary. I was blessed even while we were poor in things, and the marriage vow said, that's the way it's supposed to be. I take you as my spouse, for richer, for poorer. Jesus' audience were probably as poor as Deborah and I in 1977, and probably poorer. Jesus' audience could not pull themselves up by their own bootstraps because they had no boots, and Jesus' audience had no bootstraps. What Jesus' audience could have, even in their poverty, was a relationship with the Heavenly Father. Perhaps you've heard it said that the only thing some people have is prayer. The only resource some people have is God. And our Lord Jesus stated to those people, you are blessed. You're not waiting to be blessed. You depend on God alone, and you do depend on God. Therefore, you are already blessed. Jesus declared to the crowds that day and to us today, if you remain in your relationship with the Heavenly Father, you are blessed. We're not waiting for blessing to come in the form of good fortune. We are not waiting for blessing to come when the politics get straightened around. You are already blessed. You are not blessed when the persecution ends. You are blessed because you stand with the prophets of God. The other side of that coin are Jesus' other statements about wealth, how wealth interferes with blessedness. God had warned his people through Moses to be careful and beware if things go well for you in the promised land, because you will begin to pat yourself on the back for doing so well, and then you will forget God. And it happened again and again to the people of God until God shut the whole nation down. Even near the end, the prophets of God told the wealthy and the clever and the leadership and king and his court, you people are exploiting the poor, and if you don't stop, God will make you pay for your evil deeds. The leadership and families of wealth didn't listen, and God shut down the whole operation through the pagan nations' armies. 800 years later, the leadership were back to saying things that sound very familiar to us in the United States. If things go well with you, you are blessed. If you enjoy good health, you are blessed. Remember now, that is what the Pharisees and the Jewish leadership were all teaching in Jesus' day. And remember to put the emphasis on the word if. If it's going well with you, then you are blessed. Friends, my wedding vows taught me I am blessed whether it goes well with me or not. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. I'm blessed whether it goes well with us or with me or does not go well. If success is impossible, if success is elusive, if prosperity gets out of reach, or if disaster happens, or stage 4 cancer, or tsunami, or a series of tragedies, tornado, your apartment building collapses, a hurricane, you can't rebuild. Those do not have to affect your relationship with God, the Heavenly Father. I had to remind myself again this past week, you know, Gary, you can always pray more. That's one reason the book of Job is in the Bible. Job apparently had it all, and then Job lost it all, including all of his children. But Job did not give up on God. Job concluded, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1:21. Every prosperity gospel preacher has never read the book of Job. And it's in the Bible, a revealed truth. Because the prosperity gospel is the way people want faith to work. For faith to work in our earthly favor. But Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is right now the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Comfort is coming. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." A child of God to inherit what is the Father's to give. No one will have to make a case for it. No one has to make an argument for it. Nobody has to go to court or find any other requirements to attain their inheritance. The decision has been made, and the kingdom of God is your inheritance. Jesus was saying things may not be going well with you, but if you depend on God still, you are blessed. Living faithful lives is dependent on a relationship to the living God, not what the living God might provide us. Living faithful lives is dependent on a relationship to the living God, not on what the living God might provide for us. Jesus was a rabbi, a teacher. Jesus was called rabbi or teacher about 50 times in the gospel books. But Jesus was teaching something no rabbi or teacher had said before Jesus, reminding everyone, "I require mercy and not sacrifice." The leadership of God's people should be merciful, but they were not. They were judgmental. Jesus' story of the poor man Lazarus and the rich man who didn't even offer the crumbs from his table to the poor beggar outside his home. Luke chapter 16. Both the rich man and the poor man were Jews. The rich man figured God had blessed him and not the beggar. Why should the rich man contradict God's blessing or contradict God's judgment on the beggar? And the surprise at the end of Jesus' story is that it's all in the Bible. Though the rich man could have accessed God's word, that the rich man is being blessed should have blessed the beggar at his door. But he did not. Nor did the rich man's family try to help the beggar at their brother's door. So the rich man's brothers would likely be doomed to the rich man's faith, who forgot to be merciful or refused to be merciful. And he didn't have far to go to be merciful. The beggar Lazarus was right outside. The rich man in Jesus' story would have been well known to Jesus' crowd. The rich man, believing himself blessed, believed that the beggar at his door had not done what was required to be blessed. Come to find out, there weren't any requirements. When the beggar died, the beggar went straight to Abraham's bosom. The meek will inherit what is the Father's while we remain children of the Heavenly Father. Friends, the Sermon on the Mount is not a to-do list any more than my wedding vows were a to-do list. Okay, first I have to be poor, and then I have to be rich, or was it the other way around? And then I have to be sick, and then I have to be healthy. It's not what those words mean, do they? I take you, you take me. That's the blessing. God loves you, you love God. That's the blessing. Our Lord Jesus also said, "Have faith in God." Have faith also in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Amen.